Mondre, let's get this party started, Doc.
You know what time it is, Rob. Here we go. Let's do a live on it.
Atlanta, New York, Boston. Time to wake up. New Orleans, Houston, where you at? Los Angeles.
Your time is up. My time is now. You can't see me. My time is now. It's a franchise.
Welcome, of course, do not adjust your radio. You know what time it is. It is, of course, Talking Sports with 12 Man Time. Wow. No strained abdominal muscle for Dre. You know, I'm ready to go. I'm not a game time decision. I'm in the game. I'm Dre Peterson, joined by Robert Ford.
No torn Achilles tendons here, huh?
None of that. None of that either. Today is Wednesday, May the 16th. Of course, welcome to Talking Sports with 12 Man. As mentioned, I'm Andre, joined by Robert Ford. We have a packed show for you guys tonight. We'll give up the numbers and all that fun stuff, but first and foremost, let's dive into the topics. We're going to talk about the NBA playoffs, some recaps about what's going on, a lot of things to dive into about that. We're also going to have an early look at the NFL season. We're going to talk about the NFC West and the AFC West, some predictions as far as what we think what's going to happen in that division. And this is exciting. We didn't get a chance to get to it last week, but now we have a lot of time, as Robert didn't give an extra topic. We're going to dive into his NFL mock draft 1.0. So very exciting.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure Robert's ready to go. Yeah. So once again, Robert, how are you doing today, sir?
Man, doing great, Doc. You know, got a lot accomplished today. I'm ready to talk some sports now and cap off the evening.
Cap off the evening. Well, good deal. Well, first and foremost, let's talk a lot, obviously, about some NFL playoffs in NBA. I'm already ready to talk about NFL, sir.
NBA playoffs.
Yeah, this is where I started. But a lot of things going on. And we know that for those that are watching the game right now, you may not get a chance to listen to us. But feel free to archive us, you know, take a look at that link. Obviously, blogtalkradio.com/12manSports. And then just literally listen to it whenever you can in the car, whenever you have some time, and just kind of get your feedback on that, because we definitely would love to hear all the interactions that you guys have. So real quick, let me give you the number for those that want to call into the show. It is 424-243-9519. And also, we are on Twitter at the number 12 Man Sports, and also on Facebook. So, wow. With that said, Rob, let's talk about some NBA. What do you think, anything you want to talk about in particular as far as some teams that have been making some good moves and everything?
Well, let's kind of, you know, we're down to four series left here in the Eastern Conference semifinals, Western Conference semifinals. Let's kind of briefly touch on all four of these series here as I'm going to start off with the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference, the Boston Celtics, and the eighth seed, Philadelphia 76ers. Boston got an impressive win earlier tonight to go up 2-1 in that series. And I think, you know, Boston maybe taking Philadelphia kind of lightly these first two games and played them really tight. But as you saw, they were a much more aggressive team tonight and came out and looked very impressive and was able to put Philadelphia away. You know, I think it's a no-brainer here that Boston is playing some pretty good basketball, and they're definitely a better team than the 76ers. So I look for them to move on in this series. And I wouldn't be surprised if they close them out 4-1. I can easily see Philadelphia not winning another game in this series. And then looking over at the East, Miami, Indiana. Indiana goes on the road and get a win at Miami last night in impressive fashion. And the Heat have some concern here. LeBron and Dwayne Wade both kind of choked down the stretch in the game last night, and it looks like not having Chris Bosh could be a huge concern of them. I think they can still get by this series against Indiana without Bosh, but it's going to be hard. You know, I can see a 4-3 series, but they're definitely going to need Bosh to beat Boston in the next round. And if they don't have Bosh, Boston is going to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, man, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Who would have thought that Chris Bosh made that much of a difference for the Miami Heat? It's just very surprising, too. As we talked about, the Heat, they don't really have a complete team. I think there's been a lot of questions as far as the point guard, a lot of questions as far as if they have any an inside presence, obviously. Dwayne and LeBron can only do so much. And, you know, obviously they got some depth. via the bench. But as you saw, it's just it was a struggle for them against a very, very underrated Pacers team. So Indiana, you guys are getting like a lot of love at this juncture too, and it just goes to show you as far as Boston kind of seizing the opportunity to kind of play well. And I agree with you, man. The way they're playing, they can definitely be in the finals. And you know, who would have thought that that the Boston Celtics would have been making a run like this? So they're playing good ball, and yeah, they're definitely. I think they're going to call out the Sixers as well.
Yeah, Miami is just not getting enough production out of his role players, the Shane Battiers, the Mario Chalmers, those guys, the Ronnie Turiafs. Yeah, those guys, they're just not giving them enough production. They're relying on LeBron and Dwayne Wade entirely too much. And like I said, if there's no Bosh, then I think the Celtics would be the team representing the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals. And moving on to the Western Conference, we have the Spurs with an impressive home victory last night over the Clippers. And I still think you're looking at a 4-1 series victory by the Spurs here. You're talking about a basketball team that has an incredible, you know, high basketball IQ. They may not be the most athletic team in the league, but they just play the game the right way. And, you know, I think Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan is going to get exposed in this series. I think they're both great athletes, but they're not great basketball players yet. And, you know, you're not going to be able to beat the Spurs by just slam dunking and alley hooping. You got to come and play with some basketball. You got to have some basketball skills if you're going to beat these Spurs. And the Clippers are not just quite ready yet. I think Blake Griffin is going to have to establish a 15-20-foot jump shot this offseason. And DeAndre Jordan has got to do that as well. And they both got to start learning how to hit free throws.
Yeah. 100% right on that. Keep going, because I got something very important to say about the next series that you have. So talk about the Lakers and the Oklahoma City series. It's been a very physical game so far. Met a World Peace, and James Harden aren't the best of friends as we would imagine. So very competitive game right now.
Yes. You know, Oklahoma City up by 3 here at the half. Oklahoma City dominated the first matchup on Monday night. Oklahoma City is just a better team here. And, you know, they're I don't think the Lakers have an answer for Russell Westbrook. And I mean, they're just a better team. They're more athletic. And I can see them getting at least a 10-point victory even tonight in this matchup. I mean, they have a better bench. They have, you know, they may not have guys as big as Gasol and Bynum, but I tell you, Serge Ibaka and Kendrick Perkins are two big guys that are very athletic and can make up for the lack of height with their athleticism. So I just think, you know, OKC is the better team, and I still see an OKC Spurs Western Conference Finals, and that's the Western Conference Finals I can really see going 7 games, but I still like the Spurs. So right now, you know, I know this kind of changes on a week-to-week basis. If the Miami Heat have Bosh, I'm looking at a Heat-Spurs Finals. If there's no Bosh, I'm looking at a Celtics-Spurs Final.
Gotcha. Wow. Okay. I'm going to go the opposite direction. I'm still going to hold on to Oklahoma City, man. I think they're hungry enough, man. I think it's going to be a tough matchup versus the Spurs. I think it's going to be a 7-game series, like you said. But I can see it being OKC and the Celtics in the finals. But before we talk about that, I'm actually going to take a step back, and I'm going to go back in time. And how do you think the Lakers would look if Chris Paul was part of their team? And also, let's do a little flip side, too, and let's kind of talk about what happens to your Hornets. I know you're a Hornets fan. They didn't do that well this season. But can you kind of compare what do you think would happen? Do you think the Hornets would be kind of in a different state if they would have executed the trade for Chris Paul? And then also, how do you think the Lakers would be? Because obviously you see how you make an impact with the Clippers. How do you think it would impact the Lakers? And this is all like what-if scenarios too, but I kind of want to get your thoughts about this. Hopefully I'm not catching you off guard with this particular question.
Well, no, I asked out. It's a great question. I mean, I think that's a great addition to the show tonight. And, you know, if you want to throw the numbers, phone number out there for our listeners here, if you want to call in and get involved in this question, phone number is 424-243-9519. Make sure you all like us on Facebook at 12 Man Sports, and also follow us on Twitter, 12 Man Sports. But, yes, I think that's a great question. You know, if we go back and look at that trade, the Lakers were going to have to give up Paul Gasol and Lamar Odom And Paul Gasol would have went to the Rockets, and the Hornets would have received Kevin Martin, Luis Scola, and Lamar Odom in that trade. And, of course, the Lakers would have gotten Chris Paul. There's no doubt in my mind the Lakers would be probably the number one seed in the West if they were able to get Chris Paul. In that trade, in my opinion, you're basically swapping Paul Gasol for Chris Paul. You know, you're giving up a big for a small, but you're giving up the best. You're getting the best point guard in the league. And, you know, Kobe Bryant, of course, still a dynamic player. And when he wants to play, Andrew Bynum is either the best or the second best center in the league. And they would have had to find somebody to replace Gasol, you know. But I still think the presence of Chris Paul alone would have made that definitely a better team. I don't know if they would have won the West, but they would have been right up there, you know, either a 1 or 2 seed in the Western Conference. And from the Hornets' perspective, you know, if you would have got Luis Scola, Kevin Martin, and Lamar Odom, I think the Hornets would have been more competitive this season. But I think the trade that they were able to get with the Clippers is better for the Hornets long term. I mean, as you see, we're going to have 2 lottery picks this year in the draft. You know, if we can somehow win this lottery, you know, get 2 picks in the top 5 or so, top 3 picks, you know, you got an opportunity to get guys like Anthony Davis, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, you know, somebody like that, or Anthony Davis and Thomas Robinson from Kansas, something like that. So, you know, if you can somehow get this number 1 pick in the lottery, this trade that we orchestrated with the Clippers would be better for the Hornets long term. And you're getting a young player in Eric Gordon who, if he can stay healthy, could be, you know, a star in the making. And so I actually think long term wise, this was a better trade for the Hornets. But if the trade would have went down with the Lakers, the Hornets would have been more competitive this season with players like Kevin Martin and Luis Scola.
Gotcha. And like I said, I think that's a very interesting analogy, too, because I totally agree that the Lakers would probably be, as you mentioned, the number 1 seed, and you know, they would have been playing great ball. And, you know, obviously we all have these what-if scenarios, too, but it's just one of the situations where, you know, you kind of wonder what happened with that deal and how come it wasn't executed, and that's another topic, but very, very interesting, too. And one thing I want to talk about, too, as far as you look at how the NBA is going, you got to look at opportunities and certain things that are going on with the league, because, you know, I'm sure, you know, before whenever everything was going fine, we pretty much had the Chicago Bulls definitely going in the finals with the Heat, but because of the obvious injury to Derrick Rose, that changed a lot of things, and there's a wide open path to the finals for a team like the Celtics and other teams too. So, you know, certain things that happen kind of have an interesting way of kind of playing out the season too. So, you know, certain teams now, you got to take advantage of the opportunity. Same thing with the Heat losing Chris Bosh. I mean, certain teams are going to take advantage of this opportunity, and it's a way for them to kind of grow and experience the things and get better as a team, too. So I digress on that. No, I just wanted to throw that out there. And it's going to be a very interesting finals. But like I said, going into this, Robert has the Spurs against the Celtics in the finals, and I've got OKC, the Oklahoma City, playing the Celtics in the finals, too. So we'll see how everything plays out.
The Bosh factor, you know. It's like I said, a lot depends on if Bosh is playing or not in this round or next round. But, you know, we'll kind of have to wait and see how that kind of shakes out.
Gotcha, yeah. It is the Bosh factor, too. Got 60 minutes left, Rob. You want to jump into the NFL and talk about the
NFL? Yeah, let's kind of – one of the things to our listeners out there, one of the things we're going to be doing the next few weeks, we're going to give you all an early look into the NFL season. We're going to preview a couple of divisions tonight and a couple of divisions next week, and, you know, until we finish all the divisions. So this will probably last about 4 weeks. And the divisions we're going to look at tonight were the AFC and the NFC West. And I'll kind of jump right into kicking it off with the AFC West. As you know, the Denver Broncos made a huge splash in acquiring Peyton Manning in free agency. And this is a team that won this division last season with Tim Tebow, so I'm definitely going to pick them now that they have Peyton Manning to stay number 1 in this division. And with a John Fox defense And so I'm still picking Denver to be number one in this division. Number two, I'm going to go with Kansas City. Romeo Crennel, I like the way he had the Chiefs playing at the end of the season. I think they're going to have a dynamic defense this season. They get a healthy Matt Castle back. They're getting him back. You're getting a healthy Jamal Charles back. You signed Peyton Hillis from the Cleveland Browns. I think this team is going to be a contender for a wild card spot. But I still think they're going to be second in the division. Believe it or not, I'm going to go Oakland third and San Diego dead last.
Interesting. I like where your head's at. I actually went a different direction, believe it or not. I actually flipped it. I have the Raiders at number two with the Chiefs number three and the San Diego Chargers number four. Obviously, the Broncos should be clearly the number one team in this division. And I like where your head's at as far as the Kansas City Chiefs. I definitely think, with all the additions that Romeo Crennel is making, I think it's going to be interesting to see how that division plays out. I'm not quite sold as far as Jamal Charles and him coming back and what's going to happen with that. Hopefully his injury is going to be ready to go. And hopefully they've gotten some depth for him as far as the running back position. But they definitely, I think Romeo Crennel's done a fabulous job building up that defense. And the reason why, and maybe I may have to agree with you too, I'm kind of on the fence with the Raiders too. I definitely like the thing that you always have to understand about the Raiders is sometimes they don't have a good coach. And I finally think they have a pretty good coach now. So, and this is no slight to Hugh Jackson or guys before too, but I think Mr. Allen seems like he's got a lot of things under his belt and knows how to run a team. So pretty excited to see what goes on with the Raiders. And obviously, Darren McFadden's coming back. He was kind of hurt. And, we'll see what type of stamp he puts on that particular franchise.
Yes, and they're getting a full season of Carson Palmer, too. You know, he came in the middle of the season last season. So I think that's definitely going to be a benefit to the Raiders. Dennis Allen, the new head coach of the Raiders. Of course, being a Saints fan, we know him very well in New Orleans. He was a defensive backs coach the year we won the Super Bowl. And a very fine young coach, a young guy. He went on to Denver to be the defensive coordinator last season. And now he's worked his way up to being a head coach at such a young age. And he's another one of these Sean Payton disciples here. And I think he's eventually going to do a great job there in Oakland. But this year I'm picking him third.
Okay, good deal. Talk about the NFC West, obviously, and this is a great division. For all my California fans, especially 49er fans, this is a kind of a recap year for you guys, and I definitely think they're going to be the team to beat in that division. Some things, I don't think it's the strongest division, if you will, only because of the fact that there's a lot of question marks in a lot of those teams, but I'm going with the 49ers to kind of be the head of that division. I got Seattle second only by a slight margin. That could be like a 9-7 and 8-8 versus the Cardinals. But I got the Cardinals number three, and I got the Rams kind of wrapping up at number four. And only because I think it's going to take a while for Mr. Fisher to get everything, his pieces in place too. But they've drafted a lot of talent. It's just more or less of them kind of all that meshing too. 49ers are clearly the best team in this division. And I think they're going to do a great job and go pretty far in the playoffs.
Okay, great. Well, I think we agree, all of our fans in the Bay Area. Andre and I both agree that the 49ers are going to win this division. They clearly have the most talent. They may not have the best quarterback in the division, but they certainly have the most talented roster in the division. And, they went out and got Randy Moss. We've got to see what kind of shape he's going to be in. You still have Vernon Davis, Frank Gore, Michael Crabtree, you signed Mario Manningham from the Giants. So this team could be a little bit more dynamic offensively even this season. So you already have a great defense with Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman, those inside linebackers in that 3-4 defense. You got Justin Smith on the D-line. So, that's definitely clearly the favorite to win the NFC West. But the rest of my division order is completely different from Andre's. So I'm sure, we'll be paying close attention to this throughout the season. But believe it or not, I'm going to go with the Rams at number two. I believe with Jeff Fisher being at the helm, you just got to realize that a couple of years ago, this team was battling for a playoff spot as a division championship. I think you can get a Sam Bradford healthy. You know, they're going to have a better coaching staff this season with Jeff Fisher on board. You know, you still have Steven Jackson. They went out and got him a few weapons at the wide receiver position. And I think defensively, I think the Rams are going to be very tough to deal with. You know, Chris Long's coming into his own on the defensive line. Jeff Fisher went out and got a lot of talent, signed Cortland Finnegan, one of the top cornerbacks in the league. I think defensively it's going to be a tough physical football team coached by Jeff Fisher. And, I mean, they're going to be very physical. And, you know, I'm picking them number two in the division. I'm picking Seattle third. And I think Seattle, you know, they're going to have an open competition at quarterback, so there's going to be a lot of that going on. They probably won't settle on a quarterback, even though I ultimately think Matt Flynn's going to win the job. I know there's a lot of talk they're going to give Russell Wilson every opportunity to win it. I just don't see him doing it as a rookie. So I think ultimately Matt Flynn is going to win that job. And maybe year two I can see Seattle being ultra-competitive for Matt Flynn. But I think they're just going to wait too long in the game to decide who the starter is going to be. Dead last, I'm going to go with Arizona. And I know they went out and got Michael Floyd in the draft to give him another weapon with Fitzgerald. But the jury's still out on Kevin Cobb. And so we'll have to wait and see. I'm picking Arizona dead last.
Yeah, if you're Arizona fans, come in, definitely call him. Give Robert a piece of your mind as far as that, man. This is a representative in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. So, no, I'm just joking.
Come on. Give me some flack. Give me some flack, those of y'all down in Phoenix. Give me a call.
424-243-9519 as well. And we like it. We like it. Rob, we didn't have time to jump into the mock draft. Do you think we can kind of transition to that, too, as far as that? Because we got about 8 minutes left in the show.
Yeah, and let's kind of get into the mock draft a little bit so some of our live listeners can kind of get to it. I know we may have to finish up talking about it in the OT a little bit. But, yeah, let's kind of dive into, as we all know, the NBA lottery is coming up here in the end of the month, here in a few more weeks. And that's when we'll get the official draft order. But right now, you know, for my mock draft, I'm using the order of the teams of where they finish. And so right now that would mean it's the Charlotte Bobcats will have the number one pick, even though I'm hoping somehow my New Orleans Hornets will win this lottery, of course. But clearly the best player in this draft is Anthony Davis. We're talking about a Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett kind of prospect, 6'10", 6'11", long arms. Maybe needs to get a little bit stronger in the weight room. We're talking about a guy who's got a high basketball IQ at a young age. You know, does a great job rebounding the basketball, an incredible shot blocker, solid foul shooter, solid shooter. He's got great skills. He can handle the basketball, great outlet passer. I mean, I'll even add another name. This guy's got Bill Russell kind of skills. And
wow.
So you're talking about one of the better draft prospects to enter the NBA in the last 12 to 15 years. I mean, like I said, we haven't seen a big man as good as this kid since Kevin Garnett and Tim Duncan. And like I said, I think he also has Bill Russell kind of skills. So every team that's in this lottery wants to win it. They want to get their hands on Anthony Davis.
Wow. And real quick, Rob, I got a quick. Somebody's actually got us a question here. I got a question from a Scott. And he wanted to get some information as far as your thoughts on Jared Sullinger. Do you think he's kind of similar to Greg Oden being an off-injured player, or how do you think he's going to fare in the NBA? Do you think he's a good player in the NBA? And that's kind of from Scott. So thanks, Scott, for showing us some love with that particular question.
Appreciate the question, Scott. Right now I have Jared Sullinger going a little bit higher than maybe most scouts have him going. Right now I have him going number six to the Portland Trail Blazers in this draft. What you have in Sullinger is a great low post scorer, but he doesn't have great athleticism. He needs to lose a little weight. He's about 280, 285 pounds. He needs to get down to that 255, 260 range, but he's got long arms. He's got good height. He's about 6'9", but he's going to have to lose some weight to get into the up-and-down NBA game. But you're talking about a guy, once he has his position in the low post, he's hard to stop. And he's got a nice little jump hook. And I just think, you know, for a team like Portland, they can use another low post scorer to go with LaMarcus Aldridge. You know, maybe Sullinger's not even the type of player that will start in the NBA, but coming off the bench, you give yourself a guy that can come in and score in a low block. But like I said, he's going to have to lose some weight. You know, he's going to have to lose about 20 to 25 pounds to get in that up-and-down NBA game.
Good question. Yeah, that's a good question too. And I guess the thought that we were talking about, do you think his injuries were kind of just kind of bad luck, or do you think, like you said, I know Portland keeps making mistakes drafting guys, and obviously with missing out on Michael Jordan and missing out on with Greg Oden too. So I guess, what do you think about that? You think he's kind of a guy that's going to have some longevity in the league, or you think he's kind of like he's had bad luck? You know,
I don't see a Greg Oden kind of injury career with this kid. I mean, like I said, you want to see him lose some weight, but I still do not see a Greg Oden kind of problem here. You know, is he going to get some nicks and bruises and miss some games? I mean, I think every player has that from time to time. So, but I don't see missing year after year after year like you've seen with the Greg Oden. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. But right now, like I said, I have him going number 6 to Portland. I can see him going anywhere from 6 to 12 in this draft. But right now, that's kind of where I have him positioned. I think, you know, most NBA scouts have him going a little bit lower than what I have him. But I think eventually you get a team that can use a low-post score, they're going to take him.
Gotcha. And another thing that I'm going to ask you, so I know we're going to talk about the mock draft too, and we definitely should post this on Facebook at some point too. You know, obviously there's a lot of Kentucky players going out in the draft, and we'll highlight those guys too over a couple of weeks for the draft too. But let's talk about a player that you think could be very underrated, a player that may not be on the radar for a lot of teams, but you think somebody that could definitely be a surprise player. I'm not talking, you know, could be like a Monta Ellis type of player, or a player that you think that's going to come and surprise some people that may not be that well known.
Well, I got a couple of names I'll throw out there. Draymond Green from Michigan State. He's a forward. He's about 6'8", 6'9", great defender, great rebounder. He's not going to come into the NBA and score a lot of points. But, you know, I have him going 29 to Chicago in the latter part of the first round. You're talking about a player, like I said, who's going to come in to play defense. He's going to rebound. He can definitely help a contender. And a team like Chicago, you know, at the end of the first round, you know, that would be a great addition. You know, a team like Oklahoma City that can use maybe somebody with a defensive presence off the bench in the latter part of the first round. And so Draymond Green from Michigan State, I'm not going to say he's an unknown, but it's a guy that could go in the later first round too, that can, you know, help a team and help their roster. Another guy I'll throw out there is Fab Melo from Syracuse,
big
7-foot center. And I have him currently going 27 to Miami. And Miami could use a big center desperately. I mean, as you can see, without Chris Bosh, they're lacking in the interior. And, you know, Fab Melo is a guy, like I said, he's not the kind of player you're going to have to ask to score 10, 15 points. If you can get 8 points, 8, 9, 10 rebounds, a couple of block shots out of him, you know, to take up space and be a space eater in the paint, you know, Miami could use that kind of a player right now. And if they can somehow get Fab Melo to fall in him in his draft, I mean, that would really help Miami out in the next few years. And but, you know, I have him going 27. Maybe most scouts have him going maybe about a few picks higher than that, somewhere between 23 to 25. But right now, that's kind of where I have him slotted, you know, going at 27 to Miami. So I think those are a couple of guys that can come in and play a role right away for some teams in the latter part of the first round.
Gotcha. Well, like I said, we're definitely within the 2-minute warning. So we got about a minute 20 or so left, Rob. So I guess let's kind of set the stage for next week and also kind of talk about some topics for the OC. We're going to keep this going, talking about some mock draft. I did get some questions that I want to talk to you about. So, Rob, let's go ahead and wrap up the show and obviously we'll talk about next week.
Yeah, for our listeners out there, stay tuned. Next week we're going to be continuing to talk about the NBA playoffs. Of course, we'll probably we'll shelve into a little bit more NBA mock draft coverage. And, of course, next week we're going to preview the NFC North and the AFC North. So we're going to give you a little peek into the season in those two divisions. But make sure you tune in next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. For those of you in Los Angeles, that's 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And for my friends in Hawaii, that's 5 p.m.
Ooh.
Join us next week.
Good
night, people.
And don't forget to check us out at Twitter, at 12th Man Sports, also via Facebook. We got a lot of stuff that we send out via news and stuff like that. Love you guys. See you guys next week. Same time, same channel. And Rob simply says goodnight, people. There's a lot of love. But check us out for the OT on the close-up. So we're officially off the air. And I actually had an interesting question, too, Rob. I like where you're going with a lot of that because, you know, especially you're talking about Thad Mello. And I'm thinking if he's there at 23, the Hawks would probably take a hard look at him, obviously, because we definitely need some height, too. So, you know, if I'm a Hawks fan, what hope do I have going into the season? Do you think we need some more scoring? Kind of, if you assess the Hawks, and I hate to put you on a spot like this, but what do you think, what type of options do you think that we need as far as moving on? You're looking at the way that we lost versus Boston and kind of a reshaping that roster. Because obviously Kirk Heinrich is a free agent. A couple guys aren't coming back. And kind of what your thoughts as far as how we can obviously improve our team.
Well, I think the number one need for the Hawks that could possibly get them to the next level is a playmaking point guard. And what I mean by playmaking point guard is, I mean, a distributing point guard. You know, Jeff Teague is a nice player. I think he can create his own shot. But I think he's the kind of piece you want to have coming off the bench. And at this team, I mean, in my personal opinion, Atlanta is athletic as any team in the league. I mean, if you can get a point guard that can really distribute the basketball on that team, to go with Joe Johnson, Marvin Williams, Josh Smith, Nell Horford, when that team is healthy, and you can bring a guy like Jeff Teague off the bench, then you're looking at a team that can be really competitive. I mean, is it going to be easy to find a guy like that at 23? It's going to be extremely hard. So your best option is to possibly get lucky with a free agent pickup or making some kind of a trade. You know, Andre Miller is a free agent this offseason. And, you know, if they can somehow get a player like that to come in and start at point guard for them, I mean, that's the kind of player that Atlanta is missing right now. But I still think, ultimately, Jeff Teague is more of a combo guard to come off the bench and you know, who can kind of play both guard positions. And if you can have an athletic guard like that coming off the bench, you know, I think that will, you know, improve your team. But I think that's the one piece. I'm not sure what kind of cap situation the Hawks are in, if they can afford a guy like Andre Miller. But he's just a guy that comes to the top of my head that will be available, that you can maybe sign for a 2 or 3 year deal, you know, and, you know, fill in the gap. You know, even though he's in his early 30s now, I don't know how much of the Lakers-Nuggets series you saw, but Andre Miller was extremely impressive in that series.
Gotcha. I didn't get a chance to watch it as much as possible. My thing is that, and thank you, too, by the way, for actually commenting on this, because my thing is that, you know, we keep getting these point guards kind of in the late part of their career, man. So, and I said at 30 is late, but it's just, you know, we keep getting guys after they've gone through their prime, if you will, and we kind of get even kind of at the back end. So, you know, hopefully it's enough. As mentioned, I was going to talk about who you thought was the best point guard in the draft, because I totally agree with you as far as Jeff Teague. I mean, this guy was probably averaging, you know, less than 2 assists a game, if even that, because, you know, whenever you see guys like Rondo and Steve Nash, and definitely not comparing Jeff Teague to those guys, but, you know, point guards like that, they're definitely, you know, distributing point guards. And as you mentioned, that's what you need, somebody to kind of go out there, go to the basket, make the other players around them a lot better, too. So, you know, I'm a fan of a Kendall Martian type of guy. Obviously, he's not going to be there whenever we pick, but, you know, just kind of pure point guards, if you will. We can't have a guy coming in averaging more and averaging less than 2 assists a game. I just think that's not the way the game should be played. But, you know, Jeff Teague is very talented, obviously. But, you know, we need some more scoring punch, obviously. We need some more inside presence, and we need more of some more scoring off the bench, too. So that's all, Andre. Thank you for listening to my question. Thank you for that, sir. If you will. I did have a question, too, because and maybe we can talk about this during the show, too, and we'll talk more about the mock draft, too. Somebody actually asked about, I got Mark asking about, what do you think the deal is with the Grizzlies? Do you think they should blow up the team, or do you think they just keep getting bad luck as far as running a few better teams in the Western Conference, or kind of give your assessment on the Memphis Grizzlies, and if they need to add pieces, or kind of have they hit the wall as far as their team?
Well, I think, I'm going to answer the first question you asked me, who I think was the best point guard in the draft first real quick. And I think you hit right on it with Kendall Marshall. I think the best pure playmaking passer point guard in the draft is Kendall Marshall. But, however, even though he may be the best pure point guard in this draft, I have him going at 14 in Houston. Houston is going to lose Goran Dragic. He's a free agent. And, you know, maybe Houston brings him back. And that could be another player the Hawks could look at. You're talking about a very underrated point guard who's got good size, can shoot the basketball, can pass it as well. But Kendall Marshall, and the reason why he will fall to somewhere like 14, maybe he can go as high as 11 or something like that, is even though he's a great distributor, he sees the floor extremely well, he's going to have to improve his outside shot, and he's going to have to improve his defense. And so that's the only reason you're going to see him, you know, fall to the middle of the first round. He won't be available at 23 for Atlanta, but, you know, but he is, in my opinion, the best pure point guard in this draft. And next question to address is the Memphis Grizzlies situation. And, no, I don't think Memphis should blow up that team. And yeah, I think they're still extremely young, and they still got a lot of talent on that team. And you're talking about Mike Conley, and you're talking about Tony Allen, Rudy Gay, Zach Randolph, and Marc Gasol. And you got guys like O.J. Mayo coming off the bench, and Marquise Spites. I think they have a very talented roster. And I think the missing piece for them is similar to the Atlanta Hawks. I think Conley is similar to Jeff Teague, to where I think there are guards that are better suited to come off the bench and be combo guards off the bench. And I think they, you know, the difference in that series with the Clippers is that Chris Paul was just the best player on the floor. I mean, and Memphis took that team to 7 games, and the Clippers had the best player on the floor in Chris Paul. And so that was the difference in that series. I think roster-wise, I think Memphis has a better overall roster than the Clippers. But I think the difference is was the point guard position. I don't think
one
Conley,
player.
Yes, yes. I don't think Conley is the distributor and an effective playmaker, of course, that Chris Paul is. And I think that was the difference, you know, in that one game. And so I kind of think Memphis' roster is similar to the Hawks, where they both have extremely talented rosters, but they're just lacking at the point guard position.
Wow. Did you hear the report that Kendall Marshall was walking around with a loaded weapon or something like that? Did you hear about that?
I didn't hear that report.
No, okay, good. We're trying to start that report so he can fall to the Hawks. Okay. I'll be sick.
Oh, man.
Get those rumors started so we can
give away no false information.
I'm just joking. So, Rob, let's go ahead and let's talk about anything you want to highlight in your mock draft. So let's kind of talk about that. Anyone you want to talk about in particular, or kind of talk about that as we move on here.
Well, you know, we talked about Anthony Davis being the number one player in the draft. You know, if you look at my mock draft there, the second pick, Washington, what are they, the Bullets now, or the Washington Wizards, I'm sorry.
They're still the Wizards. They're still the Wizards. They haven't changed back.
Used to be the Bullets. But
back in the day, yeah.
I have them going with Michael Kidd-Gilchrist as the number two pick in his draft. And I think the second best player in his draft could ultimately be Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, Bradley Beal, Andre Drummond, or Thomas Robinson. I think those four players are like 2A, 2B, 2C, 2D. They're about equal in grades. I think it's just a matter of what those teams need. Will be whoever will have that second pick in the draft. Obviously, I don't care who gets the number one pick. They're going to go Anthony Davis. But I have Michael Kidd-Gilchrist going number two to the Washington Wizards. And what you have in Kidd-Gilchrist is he's got an incredible athlete with long arms, a great defender, great slasher. And I think a guy who's got a star in the making as well could be on a Rudy Gay kind of level or maybe even slightly better. And so I think he will be a solid pick, you know, to pair with a guy like John Wall and can give them some nice athleticism in the backcourt with John Wall, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. You got a guy like Nene. Of course, you're still going to have to build out the rest of that roster, but I think he will be a nice addition. Bradley Beal is a guy I have number three, a guard from Florida. He's about 6'4", 6'5", could probably play both guard positions, but he's probably more of a shooting guard. And you talk about the same kind of situation. You can put a nice guard to go with Kyrie Irving, and you got yourself a pretty dynamic backcourt for years to come with Cleveland. But once again, you're talking about a team that's still got to build out a good bit of their roster. And right now, of course, the New Orleans Hornets are slotted at number four. But, you know, as I said before, we're hoping to get up to number one. And right now I have the Hornets going Andre Drummond, big man from Connecticut. He's about 6'11", 7 feet. Here's another guy that's pretty big in size, similar to the size of Andrew Bynum. And he uses his weight pretty well, can run the floor, good size. And you know, Chris Kaman is going to be a free agent for the Hornets. Not sure if they're going to be able to bring him back. I know they would like to. And Emeka Okafor is just totally underachieved for the Hornets. So they may use the amnesty clause and get rid of Okafor. So Andre Drummond could be a welcome addition for the Hornets.
Real quick, and before I can interject, I got to say, anybody named Andre is a great player, too. I'm just saying. So continue.
Except for Andre Peterson, of course.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, and real quick, we'll round out the top five and see if you want to give any comments to it. You know, I have Sacramento going Thomas Robinson from Kansas, 6'8", 6'9". I think if this kid was about an inch or two taller, he could easily be a lock for the number two pick. But he's a guy that runs the floor extremely well. He's pretty strong. And, you know, like I said, if he's about an inch or two taller, you're looking at a number two pick in the draft here. But I have him going to Sacramento here. Sacramento is another team that's got a pretty nice young roster. They can add a few more pieces to it. It can be pretty competitive here real quick. I don't know if you want to interject on any of those top five picks, if you got any questions about it, you know, before maybe we address some of the other picks in the draft.
Gotcha. Now, I just want to say, now, we may not get a chance to talk about the rest of the picks, but question for you, do you think there is a superstar in this particular draft? And I'll let you answer that too.
Anthony Davis, for sure. Like I said, this guy's got Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, Bill Russell kind of talent. He's got that kind of basketball IQ, and he's got the athleticism to go with it. So I think he's a superstar. I think Michael Kidd-Gilchrist can be a star. I don't know about superstar, but just beneath that superstar status. So Michael Kidd-Gilchrist will be my next guy who I would say is going to be a star in this draft. Now, they have some other players in this draft that I think have potential to be stars. I think Harrison Barnes, if the light switch can ever come on upstairs, this guy's got a lot of potential. Can score the basketball. And I think the same thing with Jeremy Lamb for UConn, a guy, incredible athlete. If the light switch comes on and he plays every night, he's another guy that can turn out to be a pretty nice player. You know, I talked about Bradley Beal. He's another guy with a lot of potential as well. I think Andre Drummond can be a nice quality center for years to come in the NBA. Not sure if he'll be a star, but I think he's a guy that can give you 13, 14 points a night, 9, 10 rebounds, a couple of block shots. I think most teams would take that from a center in the NBA today.
Gotcha. Well, like I said, I know we're probably going to wrap up on the clock. We've probably got about 2 minutes to go left in. But for those that are listening in, we always want to thank you guys for checking us out, listening to the archive show. Special shout-out to Gene Norman. Hopefully Gene is listening in this time from Houston because I know he does a good job of showing us some love and all that jazz. But we are wrapping up once again the OT. We're talking sports with 12 Man. Please check us out via Facebook, via Twitter, at 12 Man Sports. And I'll let you kind of wrap this up, Rob, as we have another successful show tonight.
Yes, yes. Thank you all once again for tuning in. Make sure you join us next week. And same time, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard for those of you all in Atlanta and New York. 10 p.m. Central for our listeners in Houston, New Orleans. And 8 p.m. for our listeners in Los Angeles. 5 p.m. for our Hawaii listeners. So make sure you tune in next Wednesday night, same time, as we're looking to do bigger and better things with the show.
Gotcha. And as always, Rob, I know I give you a lot of hard times, but I really got to say, really impressive job with the feedback on the players. And for those that are listening in, we'll definitely give us some feedback as far as if you want to hear something about who you think your player or player you want on your team. And we'll definitely discuss that for next week, and we'll kind of continue the next part of the mock draft, too. So I'm not sure what mock draft Robert will have, but I'm sure it'll be a very, very insightful information. So thanks for listening in, and thank you, Robert, as well.
Good. Good night, people. Thank you again.
Good night. Thanks for listening in.
All right.